And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Okay, wait, why are these Three Stooges high-key hilarious? Wait, why do these physical antics have me low-key laughing? No, but I'm so weird. Why do Larry, Curly, and Moe have me, like, giggling right now? The Three Stooges are just like me and my friends for real. Like, I can think of two other people I'd be like this with. Like, this is exactly what we would get up to by the train tracks. Stop. Not Larry and Moe getting into fisticuffs in front of a pretty lady. That's literally me.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, January 16th, 2024. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my tap shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey, yo!
Hey, yo! And over yonder, the man making the magic happen, super producer, JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that like button. Make sure you subscribed. Comment away. Share the show. Podcast listeners, leave us a 5-star rating and review. We always appreciate that. We got lots to talk about. A little later in the show, we're going to look at Sam Vecenie's NBA trade board. Mm-hmm. We'll zero in on the names at the top of the board, but then look at some other intriguing names that could be in some trade rumors. But we had lots of action on MLK Day. Got a few for you to touch on. We can sort of go through as many as we want. We'll begin with Draymond Green.
Oh. Returning. We're starting with the Bills. No, I'm surprised.
We could start with the Bills if you want. How about the
maybe.
Bucks?
Hey, yeah. Maybe. How about that 52-yard run by Josh Allen? That little ball fake? That was great.
Oh, should we be allowed to fake a slide? I don't know, Tass. I don't know. These defenders are already scared enough to go after a quarterback outside of the pocket, and now you're faking sliding?
When did he fake slides?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were talking about maybe that. Everybody in the snow. They're doing their snow. No, Josh Allen just did a... A little jiggy.
Yeah.
Get off of me. That was nice.
I turned the game off when they didn't show Coach Wade, a.k.a. the Dragon Slayer, playing the national anthem on the trumpet.
Who?
What the fuck are you doing, CBS? Who? I waited all week for Coach Wade to play the trumpet.
Wade Phillips? Phillips?
No.
Who's Coach Wade? You guys were sharing
Coach
that.
Coach Wade, Survivor legend.
Yeah, that was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Still.
Well, he learned how to play the trumpet.
No, he's a good trumpeter.
He's a great trumpeter.
I wouldn't know. They didn't show us on CBS.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Trumpet's underrated.
Bills moving on. I guess the Bucks beat the Eagles too, right? Huh. They were calling it. When the Eagles were 10-1, everyone's like, they're not good.
Frauds.
It turned out they were right.
Jason Kelce is retiring.
I saw that. Yeah, very emotional. Very emotional.
Some have said he looks like JD.
I think he looks like...
not JK. Okay.
He looks like... And people have made this comparison. I saw it on Twitter. Is it the snowman from the old animated like Christmas movies? You know what I'm talking about, JD?
The Frosty the Snowman?
It's not Frosty. It's like the narrator snowman from...
Thurl Ives from Rudolph.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's real
his real
name.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, him.
That's his name in the thing. Just Snowman, I guess.
Narrating Snowman.
Snow guy.
Anyway, he looks like him if you see his side by side. Got the sort of squinty eyes. Man. Got the beard. Yeah.
Football podcasting, pretty easy.
Yeah.
Like I do it once a week as well. Simple stuff.
Let's get into the games. Draymond Green, he returned. We have a bunch of guys returning. We'll get to a lot of them, but he returned. Doesn't spark a Warriors win, though. Mm. They lose to the Grizzlies with some crazy guys playing. Draymond Green comes off the bench, 7 points, 2 of 4 shooting, did hit a couple threes, 7 boards, 4 assists, 1 steal in 23 minutes, but... They gave up 1 million three-pointers, Tass. They gave up 1 million free throws, and they lose this game to the Grizzlies.
It looked like the Memphis Hustle out there. It looked like their G League team. They had G League guys called up. I was shocked that Draymond Green didn't start this game because since he's been out, their defense is only better than the Detroit Pistons. So I was shocked that he came off the bench. I was extremely shocked with that because they are too slow and too old in terms of their bigs. And when he got out there, they were a plus number. But when the free throws, you look at that free throw discrepancy of 40-10, That was obviously huge because the Warriors were a little slow and weren't doing their thing out there, and they were reaching a ton. Yes, this is just sad. Other than G.G. Jackson's moment after the game Shaq, that was nice. Other than that, it was a pretty sad game as far as the Warriors go. Again, this was not defense. This was not defense by the Golden State Warriors, so he needed to be in the starting lineup. He's got to get out there now.
He was calling out his team, too, after the game. Draymond, quote, "You have to pride in yourself as a man that I'm not going to let a guy score. But our closeouts were too soft. Our rotations were too slow. There's just no pride." He went on to say, "Individuals make up a team. Individually, our defense sucks. So in turn, our team defense sucks." You know, a lot of questions, obviously, Trey, about Draymond, you've come back. You got to, like, obviously, you're known as a defensive guy. And he's saying, "Yeah, I am, but it can't just be me.
I can't do it all, guys."
It's got to be, again, everybody chipping in and everybody, like, you know, committing to that end of the floor, staying in front of your guy, talking out there. And yeah, they got lit up by, you know, a lineup in this down the stretch that was Luke Kennard, Vince Williams Jr., Xavier Tillman, Jacob Gilliard, and then the youngest player in the NBA in G.G. Jackson. That's who went on a 20-7 run that won the game for Memphis.
Vince Williams and G.G. Jackson. I think they're like a glam metal band from the 1980s. That doesn't sound like basketball players that should be beating the Golden State Warriors, but you're right, Skeets, and Draymond is totally right. There's no defense there, and there are two huge issues. Number one is transition defense. The Warriors had 19 turnovers last night, so they're playing on their heels against a Memphis team that, lacking their usual personnel, they're just trying to get up and down the court, and they're trying to shoot threes. They took a ton of threes last night. They made 20 of them. A lot of those came wide open in those transition scenarios. When they're in the half-court set, everybody was getting beat off the dribble. The point of attack defense was not there. Easy paint touches for the Grizzlies, and then the Warriors would tend to overhelp because they were playing two bigs a lot of the night, whether it be Šarić and Kevon Looney looking both very, very slow in this game, like Tass is saying, or Draymond and Looney, Draymond and Šarić. There was usually two bigs out there for the Warriors, so they naturally kind of like packed the paint, and the Grizzlies were just kicking out, getting wide open threes. You add in the fact that the Warriors could not stop fouling, which has been a problem for the entire season. 40 free throws for Memphis. It all adds up to bad defense, and Draymond is right. He can't fix anything. There's got to be a little bit of resistance on the perimeter, because once the perimeter players are touching the paint, it's a problem. And the Warriors, they tend to just want to pack the paint, but that leaves the threes open, and Memphis was hitting last night.
It is funny to look at the box score, because a lot of those threes didn't land for the starters. You had a bunch of starters that were 4 for 20, 1 for 6, 1 for 6, 2 for 9 in terms of their field goal numbers. But somehow they won because of G.G. Jackson coming off the bench, because Roddy coming off the bench. They got it done. But yeah, Jaren Jackson Jr. And a bunch of guys, you know, they got up 54 threes, even though Jaren Jackson Jr. was only 3 of 14. The guys on the bench got it done because they're faster and younger. And that's why I was just shocked not to see Dre in that starting lineup. Again, the free throws, 40-10, and the number of threes that they took. This was kind of sad.
G.G. Jackson, born December 17th, 2004. Guys, we started podcasting this very pod. We started about a month later. It's our anniversary in a couple days, our 19th year anniversary. This show is basically as old as G.G. Jackson, and this is now back-to-back 20-point games for him. He's going to get an opportunity. He is not afraid to let it go. He's got a funny-looking shot to me as well, but he puts a hell of a lot of arc on his shot, gives it a chance, and he did well in that Knicks game, and then obviously has his TNT moment. You said it there, Tass, where he gets on the broadcast with Inside the NBA and hears Shaq's voice and, like, literally geeks out, because that was pretty cool.
Jaw-dropper.
Yeah, and he's so just cool. So happy to be talking to Shaq. But if you're, you know, doing fantasy basketball, somebody should be picking him up in your league, because he's going to play here. He's going to get a chance to shoot and score.
Minor silver lining there for the Grizzlies, I think, is that at least their young guys and Vince Williams and G.G. Jackson are going to get to stretch their legs and kind of do things they might not have an opportunity to do if they were playing in a playoff chase scenario. So that's awesome. The guy just turned 19. It's not like he just turned 20. That would be very young. Yeah. Just turned 19.
Yeah. Cool. He was a giggler, too. He was just so happy as a kid. It was cool that he remembered Shaq, because he was born in 2004.
That's true.
He didn't see Shaq's heyday.
Great point.
Unless, you know, he had...
He was like, I loved you on the Celtics, man. Yeah.
he was being shook as a baby as he won a championship with the Miami Heat there. So weird stuff. I will say, it wasn't a month after he was born. It was 13 months.
What do you mean?
When we started.
Ooh. Oh, right.
Because I had to do the math. Because I had to say 2004, good year, still in college.
But we started the show in 05.
No, it was 06.
Oh, 05, 06 season. I always do that. You're right. My bad. Yeah.
Lincoln's going to be 18. The show's going to be 18.
Okay.
This is my firstborn. Lincoln is my second.
You know, I did this for an entire year once. Like, I had my age wrong.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, not that it would come up often, but someone would be like, how old are you? I'd be like, you know, I was like 38.
Yeah.
And then I realized, like, then when I was turning 38, I was like, hold on. I've been telling everybody I was the wrong date, the wrong age.
Yeah. So you want to go ahead in time, though, right? Like, because it feels better. It's like, oh, I've been doing this for 19 years. Actually, it's been 18. Okay. I feel better.
Yeah.
That part, yeah.
Just round up to 20.
At this point, yeah.
We'll tell Gigi that we've been doing this for 20 years.
Gigi!
We're older than you.
Good stuff. What a win there for Memphis. Bad loss for the Warriors. Let's keep it going here. Joel Embiid, he netted 41 points. Says his goal is health, not a second MVP. But he was awesome. I mean, 41 and 10 in his return. TK, what do you think about his comments here? Like, I don't care about a second MVP. I want to be healthy come playoff time. I want to take this team deep. I want to go to a conference finals or finals for once in my life. The right thing to say, I guess.
He's got an MVP.
Yeah, easy to say when you have your MVP.
That's right. He definitely cared about winning the MVP last year. Played a lot of games, and, you know, it's looking projection-wise like it's going to be tough for Embiid to hit the minimum number. But I would say he also cares about that 30 and 10 streak. 33 points and 8 rebounds for Joel Embiid through three quarters. It was easy for him. He was just walking into jump shots. You know, that's just the way Embiid plays, is that he's so powerful inside. A guy like Şengün has given up a ton of weight, a ton of power to Embiid, so he's bracing for the take to the hoop, and Embiid just pops an easy 15-footer in your face. It was, I mean, he was sweating hard because that's how Embiid plays, but it looked like a no-sweat game for him. But he was not to 30 and 10 through three quarters. So he comes back, Philadelphia up 20, plays 6 minutes, gets his board, gets his 40th point, and checks out immediately. So now he has 16 straight 30 and 10 games, tying Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record for most consecutive 30 and 10 games. Except for Embiid has missed 10 games in this stretch of 16.
Sure.
So it counts. It was a little bit of stat padding, but I'm also like, he's coming back from not playing in a while. So he's definitely trying to build up his conditioning here. The rest of the starters were playing with Embiid in the fourth quarter as well. You know, Nick Nurse likes to go deep. He's a little bit of a Tom Thibodeau with the minutes there. All good. He just destroyed the Rockets for the minutes he was out there. He's dominant when he plays, and he just better play tonight because it's against the Nuggets. And that's the one people really care about.
Yeah. And that's the one they were mad about last March when he won the MVP, is that he didn't play against Jokic, the former MVP. So I assume he's playing.
Jokic,
I know it's
is questionable, I think, too.
They had their entire starting lineup listed as questionable.
Yeah, yeah.
Trolling.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I didn't know that.
Yes.
The Nuggets, you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, that's funny. Okay, I guess. A little weird, but
gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. We'll see.
It is strange seeing Embiid miss all these games, and it would be a little strange to see him here playing a back-to-back, but he's got to. He's got to play in the back-to-back.
He's got to,
mister. but I think it is good for him that he's got the MVP done. Check out of the way.
Yeah.
And now the goal is conference finals, and that's what it should be, because he went from incredible MVP to not himself in the postseason last year. He went from 33.1 points down to 23.7 points. People may say, oh, he was just double the whole time. Well, look at the numbers. 53 field goal percentage down to 43 field goal percentage. His true shooting percentage, 65 down to 56. The three-point percentage, 35 down to 18. It's happened throughout Joel Embiid's career. He just hasn't looked the same in the postseason. Yeah. He's missed games in the playoffs in 5 of his 6 playoff runs. He missed a game last year in round 2 when they started against the Boston Celtics. He just sat out, came back, scored 15 points. He just wasn't the exact same guy. So he just has to sit down as many games as possible. That's what he has to do here throughout the regular season, just because he hasn't looked as good. He didn't look as good when he lost to the Raptors, when Kawhi went bounce, 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 bounce. He played through it, but he just isn't the same guy. Mm-hmm. And so you just see him dragging a little bit. He's just not the same guy to put it all on his shoulders. So, yeah, I think he should sit, and I think it's good. And I think the numbers say that he's going to be ineligible for that 65-game threshold that you got to meet. It's probably not going to happen, and it's good that he's got it out of the way, I think.
He looks bigger to me with his hair getting longer and his beard getting a little bushier. He looks like even more of a giant. out there, already like 7 foot, you know, whatever, 280 that he is. But he's just like, I don't know, something about the beard and his hair getting longer makes him look even more intimidating. But man, this guy is averaging 34.9 points per game. Mm-hmm. And again, he's missed some time, but that's 28 games played. He's like scoring 35 a night. And a lot of the times it feels so easy, like you said, Trey. Just like, what are you going to do? He's a monster inside. So you back up off him, and he just so casually steps into these jumpers around the free throw line where he leans way back. He's feeling it right now. So the Sixers are happy to have him back. Obviously, their record, not the same when he's out of the lineup. Just a completely different team because he's an MVP candidate.
I thought we were going to get more Jock Landale to bump him some more just to start. That's what he's there for. That's why he signed that contract. I was surprised. Yeah. He talking about Jokic in that March game that he didn't play in, did a pretty good job against Jokic in the playoffs when he was with the Phoenix Suns last year. Decent job moving in for DeAndre Ayton. So I was a little surprised with that. But also the most spectacular moves weren't Embiid. It was Maxey. He was just so fast in this game, and the spin, everything he had, he was able to help put this away as well.
So Draymond's back, Joel Embiid's back, and Jimmy Butler returned. He scored 31 as the Heat beat the Nets 96-95 in overtime. This game, we were close to like an 88-86 victory in this game that you had mentioned the other day. Was it on yesterday's show, Trey, where like we had a score that was under 100? Well, this one we nearly had under 90s, but it went to overtime. Anyway, Jimmy Butler, again, pretty good down the stretch, but Tyler Hero, I thought, was in takeover mode in regulation and in OT. There were so many times I thought the Nets were winning this game where it was like, oh, they're up 5 pretty late. Oh, they're up 4. And it was Hero, always had a 3 to like keep him around. But thoughts on Jimmy's return and the Heat continuing to win?
Yeah, I thought Tyler Hero was the man that made it happen for the Heat as well. I thought he had more points than 5 in the fourth quarter and 6 in overtime, but I guess it was just all of those were
timely.
Massive shots.
Yeah.
They were so timely. Timely Tyler is what they're calling him down there in Miami. I do love Jimmy Butler. He sat out for a long time. He played 40 minutes last night. A lot of guys come back from injury and it's like minutes restriction, yeah. Or Embiid, it's a question, will he not be playing the next game? He didn't play a ton of minutes. Jimmy Butler's like, I'm just back in it. And I'm doing the exact same things. Got to the free throw line 16 times, only took 12 field goal attempts because a lot of those free throw attempts would be shooting possessions as well, and kind of took the load, I thought, off of Bam Adebayo. Bam didn't have a great game. He did get a big beef, 20 rebounds. We love to see that, but only 11 points on 5 of 17 field goals. But now having Jimmy back and having Tyler Hero having a solid game meant Bam didn't have to initiate the offense all night, which is what he had been doing with Butler out of the lineup. But yeah, I think a team hadn't won a game scoring fewer than 100 points in a month when the Heat did it against the Magic. They beat them, and then they did this one less than a week later, got two of them. I think they've held their last three opponents under 100 points. And I saw that this game finishing under 100 points in overtime for both teams, first time in 5 years.
Wow.
That's a low number, man. Yeah. 96-95, but the Heat shot 26% in the first half, and the Nets shot 30% in the second half. So understandable why the numbers would be low.
Yeah, this is one of the ones where you're not going to go back and watch the entirety of this game if you missed it. Watch the cut that they did on the NBA YouTube page where you get the wild ending. It's entertaining, at least. Take out all of the misses, especially early in the game, that were we had those percentages that Trey just said were god-awful.
Yeah, the last several minutes, then going into overtime. That's all you need to see. Yeah. That's truly it. I like how far we've gone with statistics that, yeah, both teams don't score 100 points in an overtime game. Hasn't happened in 5 years. Wow. I like that, how it's getting, we're getting more and more detailed here, because we watched the Blazers score 77 points last week. We watched the Hornets have scored 82 points this year, but now we're getting into overtime numbers. Oh, I love the scrutiny. Anyways, I think the best part about this game was seeing Butler shake Marcelo's hand.
Yeah, he was pumped.
Yeah.
He was so excited to see the soccer legend, yeah.
But he's missed 11 of 12 games. He's saving himself for the postseason as well. For a guy to come back and play 40 minutes like
I
mean, he is fresh. It's so interesting to watch what this team is going to do. 3 weeks here before the trade deadline, they didn't get Damian Lillard preseason. How much are they going to go into their bag to trade for somebody? Even the Sixers, the same thing. Or are they going to rely on Tyler Hero to be their guard? Because there are times he looks great.
I think he's had a really good season.
He's had his best season.
Under the radar, I think, a little bit.
I think he has had his best season as well. He's finally starting. He started a couple of years ago, and they took him out, yeah. And they figured, hey, well, we'll give this a shot with Gabe Vincent. But this has been his best season, that's for sure, other than him saying that he's starting the Nikola Jovic fan group.
Okay.
That wasn't a good move because he hasn't been. Nikola Jovic
he's
hasn't
a
been.
Fan group for Nikola Jovic?
Yeah, he's okay. The number one fan. Jovic hasn't had a great season.
He's been playing pretty well lately, actually, I think Jovic has.
Maybe it's because the fan group started. I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I did like seeing with Jimmy Butler back, Bam Adebayo has started wearing a headband as well. So their three best players all wear headbands. It's been a while since we've seen that. For me, the golden standard in headbands is the early 2000s Trailblazers. That's what made me start wearing a headband in the first place. I wonder if it'll have the same effect for young kids in Miami. Mm-hmm. Ooh, Tyler Hero's got a headband. I'll throw one on. That makes his head look a lot floppier.
I can see that as a playoff move. We're the headband team.
We're the headband team. Brings us together.
Get everybody in the stands wearing headbands. Yeah, you can really run with that. It's true.
Timely Tyler with the Hero headband. What about Jacques Vaughn? I saw a lot of Nets fans were pretty upset with Jacques Vaughn last night. Late, I think it's Jimmy, is driving to the hoop. Dennis Smith Jr. goes for a strip. Questionable call.
Yes,
it could have been challenged, but there was like 11 seconds left, so Vaughn decided not to use his challenge because then he would have his timeout to call a play. Did not call a timeout. Did not call a play. Did not get a good shot from Mikal Bridges rushing it up the court. And then post-game, Jacques Vaughn said, I couldn't have drawn up anything better anyways.
That's not usually what you want to say, I guess.
Yeah, weird answer.
Very weird answer, man.
Yeah. I guess it's one of those plays where you don't call timeout, you get a decent shot, but
they didn't.
He missed, and it wasn't a good shot, unfortunately.
It's more that I think you go back to, like, challenge, I mean, they were asking. He was Dennis Smith Jr. He's like, you should challenge that one. That one's going to be tight.
It should have been one or the other. Either challenge it and say, either challenge it, and maybe you get the foul call reversed, and you have the ball. Or don't challenge it and call a timeout and actually get a good shot. Run a play.
Yeah. Also challenge it, and while they're taking 2 minutes to look at it, you can call up. You can run up a play.
That's a great point.
You're allowed to talk to your team when that's all going on. So, that was strange.
It's a strange team as well because Mikal Bridges firing away. Cam Thomas, I should say, not Cam Johnson. Cam Johnson struggled a little bit this season.
Yeah.
He hasn't lived up to the occasion. Cam Thomas coming off the bench, and he's the shooter. So it's a strange start after the whole Ben Simmons thing happened. Tough watch, this team sometimes.
Seven other games on. Let's split them into the West and East victories. In the West, Kyrie scored 42. Tim Hardaway Jr. had 41. Ooh, he was flirting with 50. Mavs rallied past the Pelicans 125-120. You had Lauri Markkanen and Sexton leading the streaking Jazz past the banged-up Pacers, 132-105, sixth straight victory for Utah. And LeBron and AD led the Lakers to a much-needed 112-105 win over OKC. Anything you want to talk about from those Western Conference wins?
Well, I love the Utah Jazz. This is three games in four nights. They scored 145 points against the Raptors, beat the Lakers. Maybe they'd have an off night. This team never has off nights. They play so hard for Will Hardy. Colin Sexton and Chris Dunn are their starting backcourt, and they come through for those guys. Chris Dunn's been 14-5 since he became the starter. As a Utah Jazz member, they share the ball so well. They're a really, really fun watch, period. And Lauri Markkanen, hopefully he's healthy. He's looked incredible. So that's what I got from the Western Conference games.
Anything for you?
The Markkanen thing is pretty impressive. I saw Rick Carlisle called him the closest thing he's seen to Dirk Nowitzki. And Rick Carlisle coached Dirk Nowitzki for a long time. Through December and January, Markkanen is averaging 24 a game, 9 rebounds, 2.5 assists, shooting 51 from the field, 41 from three, and 90 from the free throw line. That's really good. That's 17 games worth of really good. And the Jazz are winning. He's in the All-Star conversation once again.
He's back, baby.
And we talked about it yesterday, but Colin Sexton coming in the starting lineup has been awesome alongside Markkanen. He just fights so hard over screens, and he just scraps harder than basically anybody else on the Jazz, and it raises their compete level. And between the way he's playing and the way Markkanen's playing, they're a tough team to beat.
Yeah, yesterday, Lauri Markkanen and Bam Adebayo named NBA Players of the Week for what they did for their respective squads. Eastern Conference wins. Celtics won their eighth straight meeting against the Raptors, took care of business there. Donovan Mitchell scored 34. Cavs pulled away late to beat the Bulls, 109-91. Trae Young started strong, scored a lot of points in the first half, finished with 36, but the Hawks held on to beat the Spurs in a very weird game that I was in attendance for down at the Fortress, 109-99. And then Alec Burks comes off the bench, scores 34 to lead the Pistons past the Wizards in the Nut Dust Bowl game, heard round the world, 129-117. A huge win for you and your Pistons trying to chase down me and Mazzards. But they get it done.
Yes, the loser has to suck nut dust, as in, you know, seasoning
you put it
for
that
nuts.
Way, it sounds
seasoning
even worse.
For nuts. Yeah. Seasoning.
Yeah.
Actual food.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I got to be honest. I love a seasoned nut. So even if I lose, even if the Pistons have the fewest leads, fewest wins between the Wizards
and the Hornets,
I'm fine with it. Okay. But I think I will win.
Oh, you're confident.
Yes.
You're saying right now the Pistons will not have the worst record in the league. That's a nice bold take, actually. I like it.
I think so.
Okay. I could see it happening. These other teams suck. These teams straight suck, man.
Jaden Ivey's playing basketball, so no more Jaden Poison Ivy for Monty Williams. They're just playing him. Jaden Ivey's a talented guy. And yeah, and Cade Cunningham also did not play in this game. He still needs to come back. So, yeah, I buy it. I buy it. Yeah, the Wizards are just the Wizards.
Yeah. Anything from you here, TK, on those East wins?
Well, Donovan Mitchell, I'd like to bestow the title of certified Bulls killer on this guy. Hmm. Only his second year in the Eastern Conference. He's played against the Bulls 5 times. Last night, he had 34 points and 7 assists. In his other 4 games against Chicago, 29, 10, and 6. He had the 71, 8, and 11.
Oh, that was against them. Wow.
Fraudulent, though. Went into overtime on some lane violations. I didn't forget, nor did the last 2-minute report. 15, 6, and 3. Bulls shut him down. Lost that game. And then 32, 9, and 8 in their first meeting. Last night, it was the same. Mitchell was in takeover mode. The only time they really slowed him down was in the third quarter, where basically they told Ayo Dosunmu, just guard him 94 feet and we'll play 4-on-4 over here. It worked, but then Ayo re-aggravated his shoulder muscle, shoulder injury, and he couldn't play in the fourth quarter. And then Mitchell got hot again. Also, the Cavs hit 23s last night. That has been their strategy since Evan Mobley and Darius Garland went out of the lineup. Chuck up threes and get offensive rebounds. Before Mobley and Garland, when they were still playing, 13 and 12, the Cavs were. They took 33 threes a game. They shot 35%. It was 38% of their shots. Not great. You know, that was fine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Since then, they're 10 and 3. They take 44 threes per game. They're shooting 36%, and it's 48% of their shots. Plus, they offensive rebound a lot more right now. That was an 111 offensive rating when Mobley and Garland were in the lineup. Now they're at 120. This is a good offensive team right now because there's so much space for Mitchell to operate. They're putting shooters out there. It's Mitchell, 3 shooters, and then a dude who can grab offensive rebounds. It's either going to be Jared Allen or Tristan Thompson, who said, I don't know why I was wearing number 12 when I came back to the Cavs. The guy was number 13 through the title years. Wore number 12 when he came back this year and switched to 13 last night.
There you go.
Weird stuff. But it's working for the Cavs. Shoot threes, get offensive rebounds. When you're undermanned, that's a good way to generate extra possessions and flip the math in your favor.
Yeah, I love the way this team has looked. Since Darius Garland's gone down, they're 10-3. So I'm seriously intrigued when Garland and Mobley come back as to how they look offensively, because it is Donovan Mitchell feeling great and having guys as far away as from the rim as possible. Like Dean Wade is starting for Evan Mobley and took 10 threes last night just to provide some space, something that Evan Mobley hasn't evolved in his game, the three-point shot. So what they do and how they look with Donovan Mitchell as clearly the number one offensive guy, and then it's, you know, everybody else below him, is it's going to be interesting when Garland and Mobley, just to see how much cohesiveness they have, because it's going to be a different team when those two guys are out there offensively.
And I'll just touch quickly on the Hawks-Spurs game, which was so weird. I don't know if you guys caught any of it, but at halftime, Wembanyama had 0 points, and then he didn't start the second half. And we're thinking, sitting there watching the game, we're like, are we going to see the only game possibly in Wembanyama's career where he doesn't score any points at all? We're like, that'll be a weird little quirk. No, instead, he has 26 in the end as the Spurs got back in this game. I mean, there was a part where somebody botched a layup with a ton of time left that would have cut it to like 4 points or something like that. So they came all the way back after trailing by 30 plus at the half. And Wembanyama, I had to check. I couldn't believe it. I knew he had a lot of dunks in watching it live. He had 9 dunks in the second half. The Spurs just decided maybe we should go to him. There's no one that can stop him on the Hawks, and they just kept throwing him oops, or you know, he would get the ball and just take his one huge stride and then dunk it. So good game, good second half from him. But Trae Young was awesome in the first half, and they built up a big enough lead to hold on in the end. It was an inspiring victory, I would say, giving up all of that huge lead that they had built, but got it done in the end.
Yeah. The Hawks bigs don't stop a lot of people, so Wemby could just go dunk. I wasn't disappointed with that game. I wasn't disappointed with the Raptors game. This may sound a little sick, but I just love watching the Raptors be a 500 team. Frankly, that's what it sort of looks like, but They share the ball. Darko Rajakovic says, let's share that thing. And they drive and they kick and they drive and they kick. They just couldn't hit threes last night at all. Mm-hmm. The Celtics hit 16. The Raptors hit four chunkers. Yes. And they only had seven turnovers as they shared the ball over and over and over again. The three-point discrepancy was just bad. They didn't have one three-pointer in the second half. So that's what it was. It just couldn't hit shots. But it was a fun watch, watching them battle the Celtics. But, yeah, the Celtics can hit threes.
And a little bit of news here, back to Wembanyama. Shams yesterday said that Wembanyama plans to participate in the All-Star Skills Challenge over All-Star Weekend on Saturday night there. What do you think of this? A good idea by Wemby and the league to get him in something here? You'll be intrigued to see him, or you don't care at all because maybe it's a skills challenge. What's your takeaway?
Didn't they do teams last year?
They did. I had to check. I was like, what did they do?
I remember Walker Kessler hitting a three from the corner.
It was.
Then his first shot after the All-Star break was a three from the corner, which he also made.
Team Jazz versus Team Antetokounmpo. So all of the brothers, they had a team.
Yeah.
And then Team Rookies. It was like Ivy, Banchero, and Jabari, I want to say. Jabari Smith Jr., I think, was the team. And they did the three rounds, right? They do like a relay round, a passing round, and a shooting round. So anyway, Wembanyama's going to be in here. Now, will he be a part of Team Rookies? Will he be a part of... Will the Spurs have a team? I don't know. Somebody said, Kelly Eco said, they should have an all-French team with Wembanyama versus whatever the other two teams are.
Get Ryan Rupert on that team?
That's right. Get Fournier playing. Mm-hmm. That's if they even keep this the same format. I feel like this thing changes every 2 years. I can't keep up on the skills challenge. But anyway, smart move to get him in here. And
oh, absolutely.
People are going to want to see what he can do.
Yeah, he's going to play in France next January. That's for sure. Hasn't been announced, but that's going to happen. Yeah, just get him involved. But they got to change this team thing. It's just not as fun. Like, have individuals. They're changing the All-Star game. Well, they're going for it, east-west.
Right. Yeah, going back. Yeah,
yeah, they're going to go back to guys just being able to show their skills instead of this.
You don't like this team. I mean, I'm not saying I did, but.
I don't know.
They had like little windmills going that you had to shoot over all the fun passing things.
Yeah, they just didn't seem as into it. I think. So maybe individuals will be more involved. Maybe.
Oh, you want to go back to individuals. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see.
I'm glad he's doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise it would just be like rookie sophomore game for
Friday
him. So that's cool, but skills challenge, never good.
Yeah,
never bad, though. It's never bad.
It's just there.
It's perfect. It's perfect to walk into the arena to turn on a few minutes late and see the final.
It's literally just an appetizer just for the three-point shootout and the dunk contest on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's bread with some oil and Parmesan on the table.
Honestly, it might just be...
Just bread. No dip.
I think it's just some nut dust. Not even nuts.
Okay.
It's not good, guys.
No.
But it is what it is.
It's good to sell.
We want shooting stars back.
We want shooting stars back.
Yeah. That's still bad, but it's more entertaining.
It's way more entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, they need three events to sell. That's why they have this skills challenge, just to have longer 2 hours worth of ads to sell. But Shooter's Challenge has been good since Chris Bosh was killing it. Yeah, get it back.
Wemby should do the whole Damian Lillard thing where Lillard went in every event that one year. Put Wemby in everything. Put him in the three-point contest. Put him in the dunk contest. Just, like, see what it looks like. People could try and jump over him in the dunk contest. Three-pointer would be hilarious. Just seeing a guy his size shoot it up. Get him in there. Maybe he will. All right, we got to take a break. And then when we come back, we'll get into some trade slop. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe. Leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. Yesterday, we reached January 15th. On the NBA calendar, which opened up a large number of players to be traded who re-signed with their previous teams last offseason. We're talking like D'Angelo Russell, Jeremy Grant, Kyle Kuzma, Rui Hachimura, bunch of other players. Basically every player in the league is now trade eligible, almost, a few exceptions. Because of this, The Athletic's Sam Vecenie dropped his NBA trade board column ranking an evolving list of the top names on the market. Sam played it fairly conservative in adding names to his new list, but the pool did expand from 25 players on his initial board to now 35. Now, we're not going to go through all 35. We want to look at the top and maybe debate where they would be good fits, or maybe you even have trade ideas. At the top of Sam's list on the NBA trade board, it's Pascal Siakam with the Raptors. Bunch of teams that make some sense or have been rumored to him: the Warriors, the Pacers, the Kings, the Heat, the Nets, the Mavericks. Sam wrote this: "This is a simple case of two parties having different incentives. It's understandable for Toronto to be reluctant to give Siakam a four-year max, given he turns 30 in April and doesn't fit the team's age timeline." And then he went on to say, "It's equally understandable for Siakam to view this as his last chance to cash in with a star-level salary. There'll be plenty of teams with the ability to give him a contract along those lines in free agency this summer. A team maybe like the Pistons would have a ton of money, especially after the moves they're making here." So, Siakam, we've talked about him a lot here over the coming last couple of weeks. We're going to continue to talk about him, this idea of like, where should he be traded? Should he be traded? What type of return he gets? Do you have any new thoughts or any new trade ideas for the Raptors to move Siakam?
New thought. I think the Golden State Warriors are at a point where they need to trade for a large wing, not just a tiny wing, a big wing who can defend. And so they are probably willing to give up everything that they can. But what is it? Are the Raptors gonna love it all? So, are they gonna enjoy that package? Are they gonna say this is less palatable than a skills challenge game at the All-Star game? Are they gonna get enough?
Okay, so the deal has to be, look, it can only be really a hypothetical Warriors Raptors deal for Siakam. It either needs to be Wiggins. I cannot really imagine the Raptors being all
that'd
that
be
interested
difficult.
In him.
That would work financially, but yes,
yeah.
I agree
so,
with you.
So
yeah.
It's that, or it's Chris Paul, right? And his fat contract.
And a nice, juicy first-round pick. It's got to come with
and
the
pick. Then Kuminga and or Moody. That's the. I mean, look, yeah. if the Raptors are trading Siakam, you have to assume they're hoping for one young prospect and maybe a pick.
Yeah.
Maybe they can't get that because of the contract situation that teams are saying, hey, we're not confident he'll sign with us, so we don't want to give up a whole lot, but I'm starting from that point that that's what I would think Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster want. So does that intrigue you at all? Chris Paul, let's say Kuminga, and a pick.
Listen, I want Pascal to stay with the Raptors forever, and I think there's a chance of that. However, I think it is good for the teams that are selling that there aren't that many guys out there. And so the package will be pretty decent. I imagine that Masai is taking calls. That's for sure.
Yeah, oh, he's definitely going to be taking calls because Siakam is the biggest difference maker here. But the way his contract is, it's basically he's got a no trade clause unless
sort of
some team wants to roll the dice. Like you've heard the Pacers I've seen rumors that the Pacers would still do the deal, not knowing if Siakam would sign with them, as long as they don't have to like throw in Jairus Walker or a first round pick.
Or Mathurin, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They don't want to trade their young guys if they're not going to be able to keep the old guy they're trading for, which totally makes sense. That's why teams like the Warriors and the Mavericks make more sense as destinations for me, because I think that either of those teams would probably have a good chance of re-signing Siakam, and therefore, they're more likely to put a better prospect or a first-round pick into the deal, which surely is something that would interest Ujiri.
Yeah, I think the most realistic trade package that the Raptors are maybe happy with, if you are moving off Siakam, and then the team getting Siakam are confident in re-signing him and what they're giving up to get him, is the Mavericks. I think a package of Tim Hardaway Jr., Rashawn Holmes, Josh Green as like the key young prospect, and then maybe Omax Prosper, you know, Canadian that was drafted, haven't seen a lot, obviously, in the league, and then either a protected first-round pick or not for Siakam. I think there's something there, and I think Dallas would potentially do that move if they believe and feel very confident that Siakam is there for the long run and would sign, and then you have Luka, Siakam, and Kyrie as your sort of big three. What do you think about that one from either side?
I like the Omax inclusion. I love that. So that's
the hot
sale.
Or something.
Yeah, I just, as I sort of said, the teams that are willing to go buy in would probably get, probably not have to give up enough for Pascal Siakam, just because they don't know what the hell. They may just be getting Pascal Siakam for 4 months here, so how much they give up is a question. I know the Warriors, Pacers, Kings, Heat, Nets, and Mavs are listed. You always got to look for one of those teams that isn't listed. Mm-hmm. And I'm totally intrigued by the Philadelphia 76ers and what they do after they traded James Harden four picks and what Daryl Morey wants to do here as Joel Embiid goes into his free agency. Goes into his postseason after winning MVP. I just want to know if they're going to do it now or they're going to do it when free agency shows up. Because Morey's got picks to give up. Maybe it's, you know, reunite the Cameroonians of Pascal Siakam and Joel Embiid, or maybe it's go for DeJounte Murray. But the Sixers, I think, are quiet. They're quietly doing something back there.
Let's go to DeJounte Murray, number two on Sam's list. Teams interested: Lakers, Warriors, Heat, Nets, Knicks, Magic, Pelicans. That one intrigued me. Quoting Sam here, the Hawks clearly want to make some changes, and moving DeJounte represents the most substantive one that they can make this season. The backcourt combination of Trae Young and Murray has not worked as well as the Hawks expected when they traded three first-round picks and a pick swap to acquire Murray from San Antonio. He's shooting the ball well, DeJounte Murray. He's having actually a decent season, but it's not translating to wins or any sort of defensive success for the Hawks. Shooting nearly 39% from three on six attempts per game. That's pretty good. But he signed that four-year, $114 million contract extension. He's got a player option in 27. But unlike Siakam, Trae, he's under contract. And not that crazy a deal once as this cap goes up and up and up. Do you see a fit? Do you see the Hawks making this move? I know we talked yesterday about, should it be Trae Young that they look to deal? We don't think it'll be that. What's your takeaway?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Murray's in a good spot to be traded because contract-wise, it kind of makes the most sense for other teams. You've got on one end, Siakam, expiring deal, is going to want a max in the summer. At the number three slot on Sam's board is Zach LaVine, signed to a huge deal. And then we've got DeJounte Murray slotted right in the middle. He is signed to a deal. It's not too crazy, but I heard on the Hoop Collective podcast that if he's traded, it's the biggest trade kicker in NBA history.
I heard that.
$13 million, which the Hawks pay, but then the money goes onto the books on Murray's contract. So, like, something next year, he's at $25.5 million. It would be $27 million, or something like that. So it does bump up.
He could waive that, correct? I mean, not that he would. Well, maybe he hates playing with Trae Young.
You think he's going to waive a $13 million
trade?
Probably
not, but maybe he wants to go
play. Bro. He's a clutch guy.
Well, maybe he'll go play with LeBron, and he'll say, don't worry, we'll get you the money back here, man.
Yeah, that's a good point. He could get in Space Jam 3, I suppose. But I do think Murray will be moved, but pretty weird if DeJounte Murray gets traded before his extension kicks in and before the Hawks start repaying all of the draft capital that they traded to the Spurs. But it feels like the Hawks are going to do something to shake things up, and Murray seems likely to be traded.
The teams, Lakers, Warriors, Heat, Nets, Knicks, Magic, I don't see the Warriors wanting another guard. It doesn't really make sense to me. They got to get bigger. The team that's not there, it's the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm interested. I'm interested to see what Daryl Morey is thinking back there. Does he want to go for it right here, right now, instead of waiting for July?
Why are the Sixers trading, though? I mean,
Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
Well, to the Hawks, to the Hawks, they say, hey, you need somebody beside Trae Young, like Quinn Snyder had in Utah. Like somebody who just guards and hits threes. You're seeing what Donovan Mitchell is doing in Cleveland. You just have guys beside that hit threes. So D'Anthony Melton, it's not a sexy name.
No.
However,
he's good.
He could do the
job. Solid. He's very solid.
And that's all you want. Royce O'Neal was playing beside Donovan Mitchell in Utah. They were a good defensive team because Donovan Mitchell was playing beside Royce O'Neal. He was willing to give up his body for that end, and D'Anthony Melton could be that guy. So with D'Anthony Melton, Robert Covington, and potentially a first-round pick, whether it's protected or not, that's what Daryl Morey just traded for when he dealt James Harden. There are lots of picks there to be dealt.
The Hawks have to get back some draft capital if they do move Murray. they have to get some of it.
What they traded for, basically.
Yeah, good luck with that, but at least some of it, yes.
It would look horrendous if they don't get a draft pick back when they were willing to give up three plus a pick swap for DeJounte Murray. Feels like not that long ago, but it doesn't feel like they're trading Trae Young. Why should they? They got the heart. He's their heart. So I think it's got to be DeJounte Murray, and that they just need to change what this team looks like defensively. So, yeah, there's that. There's the potential Knicks to have him as the starting shooting guard instead of DiVincenzo. I guess that sort of makes sense.
That's a little Hawksy to me.
Yeah.
Having a small dude in Brunson and then Murray alongside him.
A little bit. I mean, even the going to Philadelphia, it depends what it was for, of course. But, like, again, I mean, Maxey's the guard that has the ball. Is that going to be similar? Like, are we learning that DeJounte has to be the lead guard? Like, is he better suited to be the lead point guard and not sort of this off-ball guy?
Yeah.
Maybe. Or is it just the case of playing with Trae Young is sort of wild and it will never fit? I don't know.
Yeah. And maybe that's what Pop wanted to give up on it, because he was a really good player for the Spurs.
Yeah.
He was their number one player, and they said, nah.
No, thanks. It's very true. All right, let's go to Zach LaVine. He's third on the list, Sam's list. Lakers, Pistons, Magic, Nets, sort of, you know, rumor teams, fits that you can maybe talk yourself into. Quoting Sam here, regardless of what you may hear, Zach LaVine is a good player who has averaged 25.5 points per game on strong shooting splits over the last 4 years. I saw our guy TK sharing that.
Thank you, Sam.
Yeah, you were thanking him, Sam. Not a lot of talk about Zach LaVine actually being a good player. He went on to say he's not a number one option on a playoff team despite being paid like one. But as the salary cap rises over the next 3 years, his deal should become more proportional of a solid number two. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. So end quote there on Sam. Zach LaVine, now this guy, we've been talking about even longer than Siakam and DeJounte Murray to some extent in terms of trade.
I mean, not Siakam, but Murray for
sure. Well, yeah, maybe not Siakam. Anything new to add to the
I love him mentioning the shooting splits, because I don't think people realize that in the last 4 years, Zach LaVine is scoring 25.5 per game, shooting 48 from the field, 38 from three, and 85 at the line. People tell you DeJounte Murray's a better player than Zach LaVine. He's having his career best season right now, and it's Zach LaVine's averages, except for LaVine scores 4 more points a game since he came back from the foot injury. 3 games off the bench, a couple in the starting lineup. He is pretty clearly auditioning, I would say, with the intensity he's bringing on the defensive end of the court, his willingness to get off the ball early. He's putting up huge rebounding numbers. Basically what everybody wanted to see from LaVine to be known as a winning player. It just hasn't happened yet. The problem is that he's got this gigantic contract.
Yep.
And that's seems to be coloring things more so than what LaVine brings on the court. I saw Dan Wojcicki, LA Times, saying that people think he's good, but they're concerned about the contract and the injuries. He has had one major injury in like the past 4 seasons. So is DeJounte Murray. But the contract is just so much bigger than Murray's that you probably could get Murray for cheaper and then you don't have to pay him quite as much. But LaVine helps a team like the Lakers a lot more than I think DeJounte Murray would, because LaVine's a better outside shooter. Murray needs to have the ball. LaVine can actually play off the ball.
Yeah.
And the Lakers are a team that absolutely needs 3-point shooting. So every time I see a game with them when they're hitting 7 or 9 threes, I'm like, call them up.
Yeah.
Call them up, AK, and see what they want. Because LaVine would be an upgrade on any of their perimeter guys right now, including Austin Reeves. Clearly, the Lakers don't want to trade him. They're going to try and hold on to him as much as possible. But if they want to make something happen, they might have to come up off of Reeves.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Lakers, and I do think there are going to be a lot of buyers here in the next 3 weeks, but I think it helps Zach LaVine's case that he has such a huge contract that it kind of takes down the price a little bit, even despite having this many buyers out there, this many teams that think we want to win the championship. We can go for it, whether it be the West or the East. And I think when you acquire Zach LaVine, you're looking post-LeBron's years, and you're going to have him on the roster alongside Anthony Davis. That I think they want to trade for something like that, where it's not just this year and it's not just next year. They have somebody long term, and Zach LaVine can play off LeBron, off the ball, and just hang out and play extremely well. He is definitely a good player to play off the ball, and I think he would be extremely happy to be in LA, close to Seattle, where he had his batting practice and stuff, where he comes from. Like, he's going to be wanted there. And again, there's been so many guards that have played really well with LeBron in playoffs where they just have to pass him the ball. Now, they probably want to see what Gabe Vincent can do and that kind of thing. I don't know if Rob Pelinka is going to be willing to give up picks. For
the talk is that he doesn't. He's tired of doing that and wants to hold on to that, I guess, what is it, 2029 pick. That's what you keep seeing,
right?
These rumors that, like, right. No, LeBron, we're not doing that anymore.
Hey, Zach LaVine's going to be playing there for a long time, and I think he's fought through all these injuries, and he looks pretty good.
Yeah, he does make a lot of money. It's $40 million this year. It goes up to $43, then it goes up to $46, and then he's got a player option in 26, 27 that's, you know, knocking on $50 million. You know, these numbers start to get astronomical. Yeah, that and that's exactly what Sam wrote. Okay, so those are the top three guys. We'll continue to talk about them.
I do feel like it's a blessing for us, though, as a podcast. Oh. Six of the top seven on Sam's big board here are Bulls, Raptors, and Hawks. And I know there is no other podcast that watches these teams as often as we
do. It's true.
I guarantee that is the case.
It's true. We have the intel on these guys, their pros and cons to their game, no doubt. Well, is there any other intriguing rumored names on this entire list? I mean, again, we focused on the top, but anyone else on Sam's list that you're just intrigued that could be an interesting, you know, trade piece or a team could really use player X? Who do you have?
Well, I think the Portland Trailblazers that we talked about yesterday as this team that is sort of, it's kind of like the Warriors in that they've got the divide. Are we going old? Are we going young? And the Warriors, you know, they picked Wiseman. They kind of gone back to the old ways. I think the Blazers are sort of there with DeAndre Ayton and Malcolm Brogdon and Robert Williams III. That's a lot of old guys for the team that's second last in the Western Conference. So any of those guys that I just mentioned are probably they're kibble for teams that want to win. They're looking at those guys. Malcolm Brogdon on our team? Yeah, let's do it. So mm-hmm. I think the Blazers entirely, Corona may just change it up and just go young again.
I mean, Robert Williams, unfortunately, is probably done.
He's hurt
for the season.
Yeah.
So that's like a looking forward thing. Probably. I mean, he's a great player, but he just can't play ever. So I'm with you on Brogdon, though, for sure. I think that to me is like a no brainer that he'll be moved.
That's a forgotten dude.
I know, and he's still. I mean, you know, he's on the right team come playoff time. We'll be talking about him. But do you have anyone else on this list? From
I actually would like to see the Magic go after Brogdon. I think they really, really need a guard, and he can shoot threes, and he can handle the ball. That would be a nice add for them. I also love Terry Rozier, 19th on Sam's list here. His value is unclear. Nobody really knows what it would take to get Terry Rozier, but he's on a heater right now. At the absolute worst, he could be like a sixth man, microwave scorer sure. off the bench.
Mm.
Some teams, like, I mean, the Magic could start him. I know Sam says he's teams like the Lakers and the 76ers could be interested. They just want additional three-point shooting, additional ball handling. I could see him working there. Seems like a guy who could be had for pretty cheap, whether it be a prospect, maybe expiring contracts, right. maybe a protected first-round pick or something like that. So for a good value deal, I think Terry Rozier is somebody that should be targeted.
And it's not like with Terry Rozier, if you make a move for him, it's not like, he's a free agent in 3 months, 4 months. He's under contract, and it's like a respectable, you know, $23, $24 type deal for the next couple of years here. There's no option, I believe, either team or player at the end of it. So, yeah, he is he's a good player. It'd be fun to see him, honestly, on a good team again. You know, like one of these teams that have plans to go far in the playoffs. I'd love to see him as a potential starter, or more likely even a guy coming off the bench and winning you a quarter or a half in a playoff series. Absolutely could see that. Gordon Hayward, we talked about too, I guess last week, threw him in there. I assume he can be had from the Hornets.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he plays, still contributes, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah, but Rozier is literally balling when he's out there.
Yeah.
He can just take over. A microwave is a good word for him because he can just take over and get super hot. Offer a spaghetti sandwich for him as we used to have him.
Oh, yeah.
We made a spaghetti sandwich with him on the basketball
with
Jones.
Ranch dressing, wasn't it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And he ate it.
Yeah. We tried it. Wasn't as bad as I thought.
Could be worse.
I thought it was going to be horrible, but I was like, I can see why this is not that bad in a pinch. A little spaghetti and ranch on white bread. Isn't that all it was? Am I missing any ingredients?
Was there sugar?
Oh, yeah, there was sugar.
Sugar added.
Why do you hold the sugar?
Oh, yeah. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah. That was tough. That was tough on the teeth. We were literally chewing granular sugar.
Yeah, that got the biggest pop in the truck was when the sugar went on. Everybody's like, oh, gross.
But the Orlando Magic grabbing him is a good idea. That's a great idea. It's Disney. Maybe there's some weird restaurant that makes that spaghetti sandwich. watching the Magic play, and they obviously are missing Franz Wagner and how they miss that guy, but they have so many guards in that rotation of Cole Anthony and Markelle Fultz threw a jam last night, and they're seeing what Anthony Black can do. But this guy is extremely solid, And they need somebody who's done it before. This guy was with Boston.
Yeah. He is a good... He's played in actually a lot of playoff games.
Yeah.
Drew Bledsoe. Who could forget?
Yeah. Wow. Great call. It's so funny. Like, awesome. At this time of the season, it's all these teams that nobody watches. Nobody's watching Hornets games. You know, nobody's watching some of these other teams. But, like, or, like, the Blazers, right? You brought up Brogdon. Yep. It's like, get Brogdon on a good team. Get Rozier on a good team. And... You know, everybody would be like, whoa, this guy's good. He's like, well, yeah.
I mean, Brogdon.
They actually are good.
This guy could be like a six-man of the year candidate.
Just they play on these teams that just like nobody cares about because of their record. But some little slop here from Mark Stein, some Stein slop. The Pacers have been building trade offers around a package of Buddy Hield, who's in the final season of his current contract at $18.6 million, and a future first-round pick. Yet it's believed that the Pacers, while undeniably active, are reluctant to part with two of their most promising and pursued players. And we already mentioned them on this pod, Benedict Mathurin and then rookie Jairus Walker. Any thoughts here on a team that should be aggressive in trying to trade for Buddy Hield? And what do you think about the Pacers, what they should do here at the deadline?
They can give up on Buddy. I think they're obviously their timeline here is go younger. And Buddy is getting on in age. He's 31. So that would make sense. What they're going to get back for him. I don't know. What would anybody be willing to give up for Buddy? A first? That's asking a decent amount. I mean, he's a good shooter, obviously. But he's gone to their bench for a reason. Because of what they're trying to do. And you can't give up Ben Mathurin. I don't think you can possibly ever think about that if you're the Pacers.
Do you think the Pacers would look at, like, Bogdanovich on the Hawks as a huge upgrade? You know?
Over Buddy Hield?
Yeah, I
pretty
know.
Pretty similar guys.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm wondering. Yeah. Like, I mean, the package
that's
saying.
He's having a great season, though.
He is. One of the greatest three-point shooters of all time, Buddy Hield.
Portland's had good postseasons where he is, like, the number one defender for the Indiana Pacers, tried to guard LeBron, but he is getting older, so that's the limit there. You know, he's 34, almost 35. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just trying to talk this out. And then Siakam trade rumors with the Pacers as well. Should they, like you said... They don't even care if he's, like, there for the long term, which is a little weird. So that means you're not giving up a ton.
Well, that's the thing. You couldn't trade picks if you don't think he's going to re-sign the next year. But I saw Jake Weinbach, a Bucks reporter, who said that the Pacers are trying to build packages around Buddy Hield, Jalen Smith, and a first. Like, that could get
that's
you a player. I don't think you could get Siakam.
That's not a Siakam-level
deal, but I don't know. Brogdon, like, he doesn't make sense, but you could get Brogdon. Right. You know, for that kind of a deal. They need more size, though. They need a player like Siakam to fill the 3-4 role, basically, and still be able to shoot it and defend a little bit. So I don't know who that guy is.
Yeah, in talks with, like, between the Pacers and Raptors for Siakam, you know that they're going, well, there's no deal unless we get Benedict Mathurin. And they're saying, well, we're not including him, so bye. And they're like, oh, well, what about Jairus Walker? And I'm like, we don't really want to give up on him. He's our rook. And then it's like, I'm sure they just keep going, like, okay, what about Nembhard?
What about this guy?
Yeah, what about this guy? Which they have a lot of young talent. You know, then you get into, like, should the Pacers make a move for Siakam like that? Like, he would be awesome with Tyrese Haliburton. Like, that would be a team you wouldn't want to play. But then the idea of, like, is he going to sign there? Is this just for 3 or 4 months? Is this to win? Is this to maybe just get in the play-in back door and maybe put up a fight in a first-round series? Maybe win a series? I don't know. That seems – I wouldn't give up on, you know, too much talent there, young talent, for that.
I think Buddy Hield's name is mentioned with the Toronto Raptors because they desperately need a shooter. That sort of makes sense. Yeah, but how much do you want to give up for Pascal Siakam? Does he want to stay in Indiana? I'm not sure. I think he literally could be their number one scorer. I know Tyrese Haliburton is their number one guy, but the guy who'll have the most shots per game will probably be Pascal Siakam, which, you know, may entice him, but I have no idea where Pascal Siakam wants to play basketball. I don't know. Does he want to hang out there? You know, OG's stomping grounds, former stomping grounds. I don't know.
Let me ask you one more question about the Pacers. Do you think they would trade Bruce Brown?
They signed him to that
weird deal that they have a team option for next season, $23 million, but he's paying $22 this year. They basically gave him a huge deal so that they could lure him away from the Nuggets. He's at 12 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists per game, 47 from the field, 33 from 3. I don't think he's had quite the impact that people were expecting, myself included, alongside the Pacers. But he's one of their only defenders, really. I mean, he's not
but they don't play defense.
Lockdown guy. Exactly. So I wonder if a team could wow them with a trade and steal Bruce Brown, who was awesome in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, I think so. I think they see Aaron Nesmith, what he's done, and kind of like fill in that role, who's like gritty. and fiery, even though he isn't really a defender. So I could see Bruce Brown going. It is a different setup. The Nuggets were able to give him the ball a lot, but with Halliburton there, I don't know, he just hasn't been the same guy. No. quite the same.
All right, well, we'll be talking a lot more about these guys and other intriguing trade names.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
But let's go to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Trey Kirby, what do you got for Tweet of the Night?
Got a couple of interesting hooded sweatshirts for you to look at here, Skeets. Okay. A cold snap has descended on the United States.
Whoa.
And players are wearing the weirdest shirts I've ever seen. Last night, the Bulls' Dalen Terry showed up for a game in Cleveland, and the Bulls' Twitter account tweeted, "Explain this hoodie, Dalen Terry," and it looks like a normal gray hooded sweatshirt, except for on his right shoulder is another hood, a complete second hood hanging off his shoulder.
It's amazing.
Yeah, what is that thing for? Are you hugging somebody? Maybe you're caressing another person, a friend that gets just a, you get a reward hoodie.
Yeah, that's a
in.
Hoodie for Siamese twins.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's for Matt Damon and Greg Kinnear. Stuck on me.
That is crazy.
So that's a 1-2 hoodie look.
Yeah.
Here's another one from the Phoenix Suns, Eric Gordon, who showed up for a game wearing a hooded sweatshirt, standard no zip. Over the hooded sweatshirt, though, is another hooded sweatshirt, unzipped.
Yeah.
I love this move.
You
two
do.
Hoodies at once.
Yeah.
A great move. But what you got? What's crazier? Two hoodies at the same time or two hoodies on one shirt?
Oh, come on.
That's an easy
two one. Hoodies on one shirt. I've never seen that. Because when you first see the photo of Dalen Terry, you're like, oh, he's wearing it wrong.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, hold on. No, he's not. He's got it on. He's good. But then there's another hoodie on the shoulder.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's that one.
It's for his pet. Possibly.
First maybe pet.
You get an animal in there.
Like put a dog underneath the hoodie.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Have the dog's head pop out. I mean, that'd be pretty cool.
At least on a couch, you suck him in there. And just, I don't know.
All right.
What a look. Saw people last night were like, what if you put it in the wrong hole? I was like, there is no wrong hole. It's just a right hooded or
right,
left hooded.
Right. Yeah, it's true. It's true. I thought, do you have a price on this too? I'm waiting for like,
That's
only $1,800.
I think you're looking at like $1,500.
Oh my God.
But it might be worth it, Skeets. I know the guy who made it. He used to work at Wish here in Atlanta. Brick Owens, a.k.a. Beastroy.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I might cut you a deal, $1,200.
Okay.
Throw in a third hood as well.
Oh, jeez. Oh, we could, I mean, no dunks. We could all sit here.
Three-man no dunks.
Well,
hoodie.
Okay, if the Hornets, the Wizards, and the Pistons all end the season with the same record, we're getting a custom-made triple hood.
Yeah, Brick.
And we'll all sit in it. And we eat our peanut dust.
Lock it in. Lock it in.
Okay.
You got to watch the rest of this season. This is how we stay involved with teams like the Hornets and the Wizards.
That's why you got to keep your eye on the soggy bottom boys. Yeah.
are three teams that are tossing up a lot of bricks this season. We'll be asking Brick Owens to make this one. Why not?
Brick Owens. That's a great name.
That's a great name.
It's Kevin's brother?
Yeah.
Eric Gordon, the double hoodie, that's just like a lazy guy. I've done that before.
Totally. Yeah.
Just like, I got to get to my game. I got to get to work. I'm just going to put a hoodie on a hoodie. Like, just, you know, there's
it is a little hat on a hat, isn't it?
It's funny to see from like a grown millionaire made $100 million in his career, two hoodies, though. It's a Dwayne move.
I did see this morning that we were going to have some hoodie content here. I thought for sure you guys were going to throw on some hoodies. I threw on a hoodie.
Up, man.
I knew it was coming. That was a real comfy hoodie.
Dalen Terry got a draw four on his hoodie. Or a draw two, man. They make those, don't they?
I got the draw four. Shout out to Province of Canada. All right, fun tweets. Let's call it there. Only three games on tonight. So maybe we'll hit the beach tomorrow. Get your questions in. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. If you want to email them in, you can leave them in the YouTube comments. We'll get a post up on Twitter as well as our YouTube community page. We're very close to 95,000 subs on YouTube. We may have hit it during this show for all I know. So if you haven't, please subscribe, share the show. Let's get to 100K, and we will see you tomorrow to maybe hit the beach and talk about tonight's games. Till then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, some people are confused by this sometimes. Canada is a country, not a province. Some people don't know.
The company is called Province of Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
Brace the day, people.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.